A while back, I went to get a life insurance policy the old-fashioned way. Physical exam, blood work, the whole thing. They turned me down. My numbers were bad. Now that rejection ended up being one of the best things that has happened to me. It kicked the health journey that I am still on. Down 30 pounds and counting. But I realize not everybody's in that situation. Maybe you've just been putting it off. Maybe the process always seemed like too much of a hassle. That's exactly what Ethos fixes. Ethos helps you find life insurance completely online, no medical exam, just a few simple health questions. Get a quote in seconds. Apply in minutes. Same day coverage up to $3 million in protection. And some policies are as low as 30 bucks a month. There's no excuse to keep waiting on this one. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Free quote at ethos.com/Zabe. ethos.com/Zabe. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. It's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing. It is winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. And at MyBookie, winning season's all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs, NHL, Major League Baseball, UFC, golf, and then some. The craziest sports summer we've ever had. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your sports intuition, people. Select from hundreds of futures bets. You can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big old brain of yours to good use and use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now and bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay. Good day, welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
The show goes on from the Outer Banks. It is a Thursday, and Paul Charchian from Fantasy World has joined us from his home studio. You're heading up to Minnesota soon, because you're still doing business there with the good folks you left behind, and I love that, by the way. But for those that don't know, get the word out. We back up. Charch has Fantasy Football World, and he's got all the usual cast of characters in the same great fantasy podcast, the same cheat sheets, the same inside jokey jokes like reach around, which I don't even know what a reach around in fantasy is. It sounds quasi dirty, but I'm sure you can explain it. So it's good to see you today, Charch. How are you?
I'm doing great. The reception to Fantasy Football World has been incredibly heartening. It's an extremely exciting opportunity to bring back the show. And while I know I'm inviting people to review bomb me when I say this, the fact that we have 400 reviews at 5 stars, not 4.9, not 4.8, at 5 stars is it's incredible. Some of the comments that people are leaving is amazing. It's so great to have the show back. Just really highly encourage people, subscribe, check out the show, see if you like it. Fantasy Football World, wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a YouTube channel for the first time. If you've always wondered what Brian Johnson's face looks like, this is your chance to find out. And, we've got the YouTube channel as well. If you prefer that fantasy, it's FF World Show is the handle there. And FF World Show is also the Twitter X handle as well. On really all socials, it's the handle there too. So, yeah, thank you, Zabe. The reach around. Let me explain the reach around, because the current episode has, yes, many reach arounds for a full hour. Zabe, you asked about the reach around. I am happy to fulfill your wishes with the reach around. We give 1 hour of straight. We handing out straight reach arounds for 1 hour on the current episode of Fantasy Football World, Zabe. Here's the premise. We identify players in every round
of your fantasy draft that you should take one round earlier. Thus, the reach a round. You are reaching a round early to take this player because you want to be sure you get him. He's a fifth round player on average that you should take in the fourth round because he's going to be that good. And we make our case for each of our guys. Yes.
That interesting. Okay. I did not know that. I thought the reach round was probably going to be referring to a wraparound set of picks where if you are picking 11th in a 12 team league and it's a snake draft, mm-hmm. then you've got the wraparound of 11 and 13. But,
right.
Okay, so reach around is actually a reach up. So this is where you're playing more like a real NFL GM who is so convinced mm-hmm. in their scouting that there is a player of high value that they are willing to take a round early and perhaps get ridiculed by their fellow fantasy owners because they, too, have read mock drafts and cheat sheets. And they're going to, you know, chortle and say, that guy in the third must be your first time playing fantasy, bro.
Right. You know, here's the thing that I love about fantasy football, though, about that specifically. Well, first, mm-hmm. we all do want to feel like a GM. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to feel like a general manager? We all do. It's the dream job for almost every fantasy player.
We don't just want to feel like a GM. We want to validate our smartness about something that matters to men, which is knowing ball.
Yes.
And if you're good at fantasy, it is proof you know ball. Right?
That's right, Zabe. And what's more, we want to be the guy who hits it first. Why is Luther Burden going in the fourth round of fantasy drafts? Because we all want to be the one who drafted a guy before the breakout. You know, the breakout happens and he's already on your team and you were the first one to know that Luther Burden was going to be great.
If I can do one thing is implore you and other fantasy nerds, I say that with the highest of respect, George.
I understand.
Every time you mention a name, please put position and team in front of it because a lot of us, I should know where Luther Burden is and what he does, but my brain is scrambled at this point. Remind me, wide receiver Luther Burden for the
Chicago Bears.
That's right.
And you are exactly right. And this is something I drill into my co-hosts all the time.
Okay.
Is exactly that. And especially because our show airs on local radio, right? It's not just the podcast is really oriented to fantasy players, but we also are over the air on KFAN and other stations. And that means you're reaching a very general audience, Zabe. And those people might just be listening because they love football. They don't even play fantasy. And they do need to know the position and the team for players. And I'm glad you called me out on that because it's absolutely valid.
I'm not calling you out per se. I'm just saying it'd be great if you did that because there's a ton of casuals or just people that forgot, right? I bet there's a lot of people. Right. I'm here at the beach with my brother-in-law, Todd, who's a big Giant fan. I had to break the news to him that Odell Beckham Jr. was back on the team. He was like, what? I go, yeah. They think they can squeeze some juice out of him. He got two catches on three targets in the first preseason game. Now
I'm rooting for him.
Are you?
I am. You know, why? I'm ready because he's been humbled, right?
Okay.
I didn't like the arrogance that he had before. I didn't like the fact that he thought he was the best receiver in the league when he was at no point the best receiver in the league. He made great catches, and there was a period where he was a really good receiver. But the way he carried himself with so much braggadocio, Zabe, I didn't love Odell Beckham then. The notion that he is a now come back, tail between his legs a little bit, humbled a little bit, trying to cling on to be, you know, the Giants' fifth receiver. Okay. I mean, that's a great storyline. I'm interested.
Well, he's broke. He needs the money. As a lot of guys that play in the league are broke. Now,
do we know that about Odell Beckham or do we assume that about Odell Beckham?
What am I, his fucking accountant?
Well, then don't say it if you don't know that. I mean, it's a pretty big assertion.
No, it's not. It's just a general observation. Here, why don't we let AI settle it for us?
No,
Odell Beckham Jr. had some financial troubles. Let's put it that way. confident. I can prove it in a spreadsheet for you. Do you remember when Warren Sapp was selling his Air Jordan sneakers? That was a sure sign of, yeah, dude, you're fucking broke right now. Warren Sapp. Okay.
Adrian Peterson is notable for having run out of money, and he's got all the child support payments. But, you know, he's also post-playing career. Okay. So, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if Odell wants the money or needs the money. I think he'd take the money.
I think he wants to play. I think he wants to play. Grok says, no, Odell Beckham Jr. is not in confirmed financial trouble or bankrupt.
Okay, good. I hope he's not.
Beckham did reveal in the Pivot podcast the reality is of large NFL contracts, noting that, you know, this $100 million deal is closer to $60 million after taxes and other deductions. And then there's lifestyle costs and family support and cars and homes and agents and security. People roasted the shit out of him, saying, I love it when athletes discover taxes, something the rest of us have known about for our entire lives.
That is so true. And it's and it hits them in a very big way. And it is an advantage if you play for the Miami Dolphins versus the New York Jets. You are going to save, you know, 10% of of your $100 million just in state taxes. It makes a difference.
Yeah. So speaking of depending on who you play for and where, I saw you responded to this story of Goodell claiming that the NFL will have franchises located in Europe in the next 20 years, correct?
Yes. I don't know if he put a 20-year, but he did say, yes, it is absolutely going
Maybe
to
he
happen.
Didn't put a specific on it. Okay, so I responded to you by saying, this is just a stalking horse to make sure any stadiums that still haven't been built, and I don't even know what the short list of cities that still
there's
need
not
to
many,
upgrade their stadiums.
There's not many left.
Not a lot left.
Chicago?
Chicago's, and? But their deal's almost done. They're right on their first and goal, the two, but, you know, people can fuck that up, as we know, including the Bears. So I don't know what stadiums need to be built, but I don't believe in our lifetimes there'll be a team located in Europe. They may play eight games in Europe, but they aren't going to be based there. They're going to fly there to play their home games. And here's my reasoning. And by the way, my friend and podcast contributor, Marty Conway, who is a big sports business consultant, and he's worked with all kinds of leagues, he was quick to both reply on Twitter, and then he came at me with a direct text message.
Ooh, all
right. And he said, and he did this good-natured, because we're good friends. We have great respect for each other. But he says, Zabe, when Pharaoh Goodell speaks, there is only one response, and it is, yes, my Pharaoh, with submission and reverence regarding Europe. He says, multiple teams. I reply, you thought live with us was a good idea. He says, objection, Your Honor. He says, because he did it. He was talking live up like he was in on the payroll. He might have been in on the payroll, by the way. I don't know. He says, objection, Your Honor. Golf media mafia would never consent to live. NFL has no such opposition. I said, well, then if Live Golf needed that much media midwifing, they should have bought more media and less Dean Burmeister.
That's fantastic.
But Marty went on to say, further proof that global sports grows from west to east, despite the hunger for Middle East oil oligarchs to have their say. He says there's just too much assets out there that wants to find a place to park, that these franchises are the new alternative assets for billionaires. And I don't disagree with that. But I said to Marty, and this is where I want your thought on this, I said the NFL will never solve the problem of Tyrone Johnson, quotes, mythical, okay. Tyrone Johnson.
Okay.
There's a Tyrone Johnson problem. Okay. Tyrone Johnson is from Dallas, and he played at Alabama, and he has been drafted by the Munich Stormtroopers. And he's told, sorry, buddy, you got to go live and play in Germany, when his teammate, Johnny Simpson, also from Dallas, played at Florida. He was drafted. He's going to play for the Dolphins in Miami and is living the fucking life. I said, you cannot square that circle because this is an American sport with an American exclusive feeder system of talent that will not willingly play and live in an entirely different country. They just won't. So yeah. I believe that that will never be fully solved. He said, well, can you explain the NHL? He said, Winnipeg is pretty bad. I go, yeah, but Winnipeg is less than ideal, just like Cincinnati is less than ideal. However, it's on our side of the ocean. Plus, it ain't fucking Germany. And they speak English in both Winnipeg and Cincinnati.
That is true.
I also said half the NHL is from places worse than Winnipeg. You know, if you're Slava Jakhmiov, you're from Kazan, Russia. And Winnipeg looks like a goddamn paradise. And it's warmer. It's warmer in Winnipeg than it is in Kazan. Now, all that said, and this is where I'm going to shut up and let you talk. All that said, I told Marty, I go, look, I didn't say it was dumb for Goodell to say it. I just said it wouldn't happen in my lifetime. He is smart to put that out there as a stalking horse, at least. The floor is yours.
Okay. I disagree with your overall premise that this is a stadium-driven declaration because there aren't enough stadiums left. As I mentioned earlier, there's Soldier Stadium. There's Miami could use a stadium. Theirs is 40 years old now, but really that's about it. You know, Lambeau's old, but you're not changing Lambeau.
Correct.
Arrowhead's got theirs. Cleveland's got theirs. Buffalo's got theirs. You know, really the stadium thing, it just doesn't carry the weight that it used to. Everybody's got their new stadiums. They're rolling in dough from that.
But these stadiums only last 20 years.
Yeah, that part is shocking. Some of them Denver, do only last that long.
Denver is replacing theirs.
Unreal. Denver. It is 20-year-old stadium. That's it.
I think it's 20. You know,
and the Cleveland's, remember, Cleveland rebuilt a new stadium when they came in, whatever, 30 years ago. So when they came back. So absolutely, there is truth.
Nashville's new stadium got done. So you're right. Yep. There's not much left. Jacksonville is undergoing a multi-year renovation where they're going to be kicked out for a year. So that's not a situation. Okay, so what do you think about my Tyrone Johnson problem?
Well, I think there's validity to that. I don't think most free agents will gravitate. You know, at the end of the day, free agents want money, but if it's remotely close, I think they're going to stick to the U.S. And that would be a real problem for these international teams if they can't draw free agents. And now these international games, if they're forever expansion teams, and they can't break out of that cycle, it's a big problem. The other thing you got to think about is right now the NFL has got a beautiful alignment of divisions and teams. We have the AFC and the NFC have got four divisions with four teams each.
It's
and
perfect.
The math is perfect. It's perfect. How do you jack that up? By adding more teams in Europe, and
it is perfect. But I can tell you what's more perfect. More money to these fucking owners is always more perfect to them. They don't give a shit about perfection or history or integrity of their league. They just want more. It's almost always like more. Monty Burns in The Simpsons, who once said, "Yes, Smithers, I'd give it all up for just a little bit more."
Perfect. There's some truth to that. Now, if they do the expansion and they add in, say, four European teams or eight European teams, what happens if the fans don't come and these teams never gain traction? How much harm will you have done if you have to retract those teams? Which,
never,
you know,
they've never had to do anything remotely close to
nothing
that.
Like that, right? They closed, right. You know, they tried NFL Europe once before and they shuttered it after, 5 years? If they had to do that, it would be humiliating. And it makes you wonder why the NBA, which is not already vastly popular overseas, especially in Asia and Europe. I mean, you know, the NBA is way ahead of the NFL. Why haven't they done this? The NBA is way easier logistically to handle this. They're not moving pads and, you know, blocking dummies and, you know, all the other stuff. it would be easier for the NBA, and they've looked at the calculus on this and gone, nope, not doing China, not doing Europe. They're not going. And I think it's fair to ask why it would be different for the NFL than it would be for the NBA.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the TV show Succession?
I did, despite the fact that I was rooting for bad things to happen to every character all the time. It was an entire show built on five horrible people who didn't deserve an ounce of joy in their life. And I did not care for that part of the show.
It was a very popular show. I tried to watch it. I think I got five episodes in and I declared it to be poor quality schlock. And I jumped out. I thought there was no significant actors or actresses that were worth anything. The patriarch of the family, I think, is the only actor that had any real credits to his name. I could see where they were cutting corners on how it was shot. And it was just a boring corporate fake-ass drama. And I realized the reason that it never resonated with me is, why do you want to watch a TV show when there are real-life examples of this kind of corporate high-stakes bullshittery in front of our face? Because what's going on with the Buss family and the Lakers and with Mark Walter? Oh, this is incredible, Charge.
So Lakers just sold for $12.2 billion. Is that correct?
Correct. In a weekend.
And over a weekend, right? Jenny Buss is out, right? She's going to lose her position?
Jeannie is trying to hold on. Her five siblings are all out. They want to sell because there is a sole survivor clause in which if you are not the last to die, the asset that you have a chunk of goes away. It all funnels to the sole survivor.
Oh, man.
So, of course, the other kids are going to want to sell. When she took over as the controlling partner, she fired all of her brothers and sisters. This is better than a TV show.
Thanksgiving's going to be awkward, Zabe.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. Look, this reminds me a little bit of Daryl Hall and John Oates. Hall and Oates are suing each other because John Oates wants to sell the catalog while he's still young enough to enjoy the money. You know, his family is set up. His kids are set up for the rest of their lives. He'd like to sell the catalog and enjoy the rest of his life with the money that it brings. Daryl Hall, who has more revenue streams currently. He's got a long running video podcast that, called Live from Daryl's House, where he brings in musicians from all around the world that love Daryl Hall and want to play with him. And they jam in his basement. And it's become very popular. And Daryl Hall does not want to sell the catalog. And they're suing each other. Kind of similar. And I can see both sides, but I kind of lean to the John Oates side, which is sell it and go enjoy the money. You earned it.
Yeah.
You toured for years. You wrote these songs. Good. You should be able to enjoy the money that it brings.
Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good. Maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for all offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
That's awesome. While we're on music, you wanted to talk about the passing of ZZ Top's drummer, Frank Beard. Talk to me.
You and I grew up in the MTV era where ZZ Top was making schlocky top 40 songs. Like
whoa. You want to try that again? Where ZZ Top was one of the great, gritty, country rock, funk landscape defining bands of that era. Boom. There we go. Fixed it for you.
Not in the 80s. Not in the 80s. They embraced the MTV culture with Sharp Dressed Man, Gimme All Your Lovin', Legs, you know, those hits that came in the mid 80s.
Why do you call those schlock?
Because they are. They're bad songs. Those are objectively bad songs. Yes. Yes.
That is rich. Okay, go on. I'm listening, but I am shocked at your slander.
I will continue to pound nails into my grave of this take, and that's fine. Okay, and here's shovel dirt onto the grave of this take. ZZ Top for me basically was dead. I was like, you know, they grew long beards. They had their MTV hits, which I did not care for. Many people did, like teenage girls and Zabe, and so I had written them off for 40 years, and then I was listening to a one-hit wonder. This is 2 months ago. I'm listening to a one-hit wonder from the 80s that almost none of your listeners will know, called Nicole by Point Blank. And Nicole by Point Blank had a brief hit on classic rock stations in the 80s. And it turns out the producer of that song was a producer for ZZ Top. And I'm like, you know, I should go listen to early ZZ Top to see what the... I knew they had a big album in the mid-70s called Tres Hombres. So I should really go listen to that. So thanks to Spotify, I'm in my car. Just fire it right up. Tres Hombres is fucking amazing, and it's nothing like the 80s schlock. This is a gritty blues. They are gritty blues rock band. They're doing like Texas blues with hard rock. This is the era of LaGrange and Tush, and they are jamming and rocking, and it is freaking great. And I'm listening to that going, oh my God, this is ZZ Top. And I was blown away at how great those old blues songs sounded from the 70s and 80s. And for anybody else that's in my boat, I highly encourage you just throw... Tres Hombres is considered one of the great... It's their third album, by the way, and it's also Tres Hombres because it's a three-man band. It's considered one of the great blues rock albums of all time. Highly recommended.
Okay, you're committing a common mistake amongst music snobs, and I want to try to set you on the right path on this. Okay, not to be too patronizing right now, kind of too late. This is very insulting.
Now that ship sailed.
Right. Just because a song is simple and just because it's popular does not make it schlock. Sharp Dressed Man has one of the great resolving hooks in popular music history. Everybody's crazy about a sharp dressed man. Bom, bom, bom. The way that line hits and then the guitar riff that flows is fucking gold. That's why the song sold a billion fucking records. So don't dismiss popular with schlock. Charge.
Many songs that sold very, very well are legitimately schlock. I mean, Macarena.
Carly Rae Jepsen with Call Me Maybe. Sure. That is laboratory grown piece of cotton candy fluff that anyone could have delivered. She just got lucky. They handed her the song and she had her moment under the sun. ZZ Top has actual musical pedigree and a discography that precedes what you thought was schlock.
I don't blame them for making videos and songs that made them multi-millionaires on an order of magnitude that they did not possibly come close to prior to the MTV era. Fine. You want to sell out? Great. You know, it doesn't mean they're not talented, but those songs are nothing like the real ZZ Top that preceded it.
I imagine we're going to get some fierce opinion feedback, probably in both directions. You'll probably win the day on this argument with most people feeding back on this. But it's to me like they are musicians, and what they did and what they're still doing, by the way, even though they lost their drummer yesterday at the age of 76, I believe.
I think they're mid-tour right now.
Yes. I have this little clip I want to play for you. about how Billy Gibbons found Frank Beard. You ready?
Cool.
Here we go.
I hunted all over the place. Found Billy Gibbons. Made him go. I mean, just threatened him. Made him go to the rehearsal studio when we jammed. I was jacked up on speed, so I made him for about 8 hours till his tongue just...
It didn't take 30 minutes, didn't take 30 seconds. I knew that Frank Beard had the kind of chops that I was looking for. He played fiercely. He played with determination. And I decided to enter Frank Beard as the drummer, the new drummer for ZZ Top.
I mean, there it is right there. How about that?
That's great. That's great. And ironically, he's the one guy in the band without a beard, was Frank Beard.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. He just had the big mustache. A good drummer. It turns out Billy Gibbons, a really, really good guitar player. And that, you know, he was doing, again, the early stuff, smoking solos. And ZZ Top is a legitimately talented band. Rest in peace, Frank Beard.
Yes. Like most music snobs, you like to say, I like their old stuff better than the
new stuff. That's right. That's what we always say, right?
That's right. Wait around a while because the new stuff eventually will also become the old stuff.
Yes. Do you ever wonder about this, Abe, how you go to a concert, everybody wants to hear the old stuff, and they start playing the new stuff from their new record, and everybody groans and nobody's into it. And then the moment they go to their back catalog and they play all the hits, everybody's excited. But then you fast forward 5 years later and everybody wanted to hear those songs that you groaned through because you didn't want to hear the songs from the new album at the time.
Imagine the Eagles rolling out Desperado for the first time and everyone's can we get
play
through
Hotel
this?
California.
Right, exactly. Well, since we're arguing, I want to argue with you on this because you put this out on Twitter. You're like, what's the worst sport to watch live? And your answer was golf.
Yeah, and when I say live, to be clear, because there was some confusion.
Not live, but in person.
It's in person. Yes. Right. Yeah.
I almost wanted to come across the middle and decapitate you with a 15-yard illegal clothesline on Twitter, but I resisted. I did it privately to you by saying your Hedy Lamarr stories. Those are the worst things to watch
in person, in real time. Yeah,
as a golfer, I took umbrage to that because I can go to a golf tournament and I am endlessly fascinated following certain players and watching what they do, the nuances of how they hit shots and how they approach things and their tempo and their decision-making with their caddy. And I can also go and sit at a golf hole that I find interesting and then notice a bunch of groups and see how they navigate certain parts of the green or the bunkers or the putting or blah, 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 blah. It's fascinating to me. If you're not a super golf nerd, then yeah, it's going to be a long, hot, open walk where you see very little action and don't really know who's winning the tournament. But this is how I felt about auto racing for the longest time. I am still flabbergasted that there are people that go to auto races in the numbers they do when you surely cannot see nor hear or even vaguely understand shit about how the race is going, but they do charge. They do.
Well, okay. Let me make my case against golf in person. Yeah. And maybe I am tainted by the fact that for me, Minnesota did not, and up until very recently, did not host a regularly recurring tour stop. We had the PGA, we had the Open, and we had the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine. So those are my experiences of these absolutely massive events. You could not logistically follow one player. You know, if you're like, oh, I really want to see, this guy swing and I want to follow this guy. You can't logistically do it. There's too many people. It would be very, very hard to follow that person because the crowds and that person gets near the green and now there's the stands and everything and you can't just go walk into the stands. And if you are in the stands, if you leave your seat, even just go to the bathroom, you've left your seat forever. There's no saving seats. So you're really forced into picking your spot for the day or half the day and planting yourself there. And then it's a lot of waiting around. So I oftentimes would position myself on hole 18. So I'm like, if there's going to be drama, I want to be here for it. Position myself on hole 18. And then I'm waiting. Oh, there's some guys who are off 170 yards and they're approaching right now. And I'm not positive who it is, but we've got people that are coming in. So then I'll watch the approach shots come in. And after a while, it's approach shot.
Boring two putt
waiting,
par.
Approach shot. Yep, boring. Yep, that, exactly.
Maybe and it, somebody makes thing. A birdie and you're like, yay.
Yeah,
and
you go, exactly.
You go, who was that? I don't know. The sheet says it was Rasmus Højgaard. I don't know who that
right,
is.
Right, exactly.
Oh, no, wait. It wasn't Rasmus Højgaard. It was Eugenio Chikara.
Oh, I've also never heard of that guy.
Correct.
Yeah, well, everyone has their favorite sports to watch live and their reasons to watching it live and their favorite seats in the stadium or at the golf course or at the racetrack to watch. And, the only sports that don't really resonate live are the ones that are out of business that can't attract fans, right?
Well, does it matter anymore? I mean, esports attracts no in-person fans for the most part. Although they do have some esports arenas and people do show up for some esports events. But it remains very popular and almost entirely people are just watching online.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of esports, did you see the lunatic who committed himself to pitching a perfect game on MLB The Show 2005, I want to say? And he did it after 1,997 attempts with Roy Oswalt of the Astros. You didn't see this? No, you did not see this.
It took him 2,000 tries and he kept using the same pitcher over and over again. I want to know what difficulty level he was on because that would be a huge, huge difference.
First of all, I'm shocked that you as a video game nerd did not clue into this.
This did not hit your algorithm,
that you don't know about this.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, this is incredible. So somebody said there's a lunatic out there who is live streaming his attempt to throw a perfect game with Roy Oswalt in MLB The Show 05. And he turns the game off. He resets it as soon as he gives up a hit or a walk.
Yeah, right. You'd
have
to.
He had failed, and it like took him days and weeks to do this.
Oh man! I love that people do that, Zabe. They, that somebody's got the time and the interest to do that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
I would not do that.
Here it is, Jay Lucarelli. Sports. All right, hold on a second. Let me share this screen for you. I want to show you the ending of it because it's pretty amazing. I assume you probably didn't play the sports games like you did other games with your consoles.
Oh, I played a lot. Oh no, I played a lot of sports games growing up. Yeah.
Okay, so you did play a lot. Did you play MLB The Show?
Of course. Absolutely. From PS3 forward. Yeah. I've not played the last several years of it though.
Okay. All right. So this guy. Here it is right here. Okay, you got this?
Yep.
Okay, so here it is.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Dwayne Kuiper.
All right, three more. I said Miller. Let me see how Miller looks on the backdrop.
All right, so he actually did this at Coors Field, which is even more insane, right?
You hit a
perfect game at Coors Field. But I want to show you how it happens. Here we go.
We're getting it.
All right. Nobody out here. Here it is. No, that's one out. Okay. Let me skip ahead.
Dunmore Valley, we're going slider.
Two
we're
out.
Going slider, Chad.
Here we go. Got it?
Yep.
Out. That's it. That's the no hitter. That's it.
Oh.
Oswalt. Faced 27 batters and got them all.
1993.
That's one of the rarest things you'll ever see in a ball game.
I did it.
Perfect game by
Okay.
He's playing the 2005 version, by the way.
Here's what's hilarious is that you know, Oswalt in the video game made this insane backhanded stab.
Stab, yeah.
What would have been the perfect game ruining right through the middle of the infield single. And the guy barely reacted to it. Like, you would have thought he would have been jump like up and down screaming, "That's my man! Did you see that catch?" Maybe he was just too worn out from 1,993 attempts.
That's right. Did he stream the other 1,992 attempts? How do we know that he didn't just fast forward to this? Like, you know, if I had to do 100 pushups, I would do 1, 2, 3, 98, 99, 100.
You'd cheat.
100%.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that is just one of these things. It, you know, reminds me of, remember from the great video game Chasing Ghosts, was it? What was the viral documentary about the video game nerds that became pseudo rock stars in the 80s? You and I talked about this. Did you ever see that documentary of
no,
the guy?
I don't think I know
like
what
there
is.
Were certain guys who got really good at Pac-Man. At Donkey yeah. Kong, at Missile Command. Oh, okay.
There was along those lines, there was a great documentary about the controversy around Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong in particular. And there was a big, there were all these guys that were trying to, you know, determine who was the best at Donkey Kong and yeah. who had the true high scores. Somebody was fixing the videotapes, you know, doctoring videotapes of himself and playing the game. And yeah, that was a very good documentary from the 90s.
Okay, here it is. It's all online as well. It is okay. called Chasing Ghosts, and it
okay,
is
okay. So it's Pac-Man if it's Chasing Ghosts.
Oh, you will love this documentary. These guys are complete fucking lunatic
nerds.
Shoot
the picture.
We didn't know what to expect. We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know if we're just getting buffaloed into something.
Hey, you want to go to Iowa?
So it was like this convention of these nerds.
Yeah, Iowa is the was the home of the video game like Hall of Fame or something. And so that's where I always had these tournaments in this tiny town in Iowa.
Look at this guy. This guy was dubbed Asteroids Avenger, I think. He's got a whole costume that he liked to wear.
Of course I want to keep it. I don't want someone to say it was fake or... I mean, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? I mean, is that really a question that needs to be asked?
Well, Mr. Awesome was his nickname. But anyway, Chasing Ghosts.
Guy.
I'll send you the link. You can watch it on your downtime.
Oh, that looks good.
Anything else crucial to mop up here on this? Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask about, I wanted to throw this out there to you. Fantasy football punishments are becoming more and more the viral craze, which I say bring them all to me. I'd love to see them. Somebody had to dress up as the Hungry Hungry Caterpillar and eat every one of the things in the kid's book that the caterpillar ate in one sitting.
Yes.
I got a tummy ache now. Someone else was locked into a dark closet with a 3,000-piece puzzle that had nothing but a pile of lima beans as the photo. So there was no distinguishing difference. And they turned the lights out. He was given a flashlight. And he was not allowed out until the puzzle was complete.
That's brutal.
I think we should have fantasy football style punishments in real sports. For teams that do really bad shit, like the Rockies last night got beat by the Brewers 22-0.
That's amazing.
It is tied for the largest shutout margin in MLB history. And that's 140 fucking years of playing baseball, okay? And not only that, but at the end of the game, one of the Rockies outfielders had forgotten how many outs there were, so he caught a fly ball for out number two with two runners on the bases, and he chucked it into the stands thinking the inning was over.
Shut up.
So it took the lead from 19-0 to 21-0.
So wait, is that a home run at that point? I mean, you know, what happens? I don't know what the ruling is.
It's like throwing the ball into the dugout. If the runner is past second, he scores. So I'm pretty sure the runners were Okay. Past
so everybody advances, and if you're past second, you score.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
anyway, it. So I think the Rockies should have to endure a fantasy football style punishment for being so fucking inept. And I think this would be a great wrinkle in our everyday sports life. Something like, let the Brewers pick their uniforms for the next day and pick the most garish, stupid, frilly, like make them wear uniforms that have a little ballerina sort of waist skirt on it. That'd be funny.
Huh? Let me tell you something we've done in my fantasy leagues that I love is every week of the season, we have a rivalry matchup between two owners that are in some way connected, right? Like two brothers or two longtime friends. Mm-hmm. And they've been in the league for a long time. So we've got rivalries. If you lose the rivalry that week, the following week, your opponent gets to rename your team and put a new logo on your team. So in that moment, you become the Steve Zabin pap smears. And within a logo that is representative of that. That's right. Exactly.
Preparation H, right? Make it really, really embarrassing. Depends.
Yep. Yes.
The Detroit
yes.
depends for one game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's been a good system. We love the rivalries. And then there's a real penalty of sorts attached. And everybody spend the whole offseason figuring out what they're going to do to their rival if they win and what that logo is going to be and what that team name is going to be for that one.
Okay, I like it. Good stuff. Fantasy Football World, find it on all the socials. The same great cast of characters, insightful, smart, funny guys like Charch and his gang. And, of course, follow them on Twitter as well as all the other socials and get their cheat sheets as well. Mr. Charchian, Godspeed to you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Tons of fun. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. Like, this is me on the drums.
Oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not.
It
your
is
life.
So.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Oh,
take off.
It's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing. It is winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. And at MyBookie, winning season's all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs, NHL, Major League Baseball, UFC, golf, and then some. The craziest sports summer we've ever had. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your sports intuition, people. Select from hundreds of futures bets. You can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big old brain of yours to good use and use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now and bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.